Thank you. Thank you all so much. I was just talking to somebody before service, and I said, you people are all our family, just every single one of you. And we were talking about if you mess up, you know, speaking or something. Well, I didn't mess up speaking. I messed up singing. So I was like, I said, well, it's all family. I go, it's all good. We'll be fine. So thank you very much. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, for all the special gifts that you give us. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being together to hear your word. Lord, help me to deliver it like you spoke it to me. And I thank you in Jesus' name. So, you know, it's Mother's Day, and naturally, I can only speak to you from being a mom and a grandma, because that's my perspective. That's basically who I am. One thing I do know a lot about would be baking. And baking an apple pie would be something that Ben is up there, Ben Martin, he knows. I know that he loves an apple pie, so on his birthday, he usually gets an apple pie, because I know that that's special to him. Now, I got all the men's attention, so I want you to let me know who likes apple pie. Oh, we got a couple two-handers up there. Yeah. Yeah, so we know about apple pies, and I thought about in first service, we gave the pie away, and we have three pies for three services. So this pie, I want to know who has the most great-grandchildren. Great-grandchildren. Let's start with 12. 12 great-grandchildren. You have 12? Oh, you win the pie. 16 great-grandchildren. Good for you. Mrs. Rumble. Mrs. Rumble, you win that pie. Lord knows you've seen a lot of things in all those years, so you win that pie. So I want to talk just briefly, and you'll see how it blends into the message about the makings of a pie, because it just doesn't happen. That is Bruce's special pie. So, yay, Bruce. Shopping. You have to shop for the ingredients. You have to prep the ingredients because you got everything out of the cupboard, all those little tiny things that go into a pie. You've got to cut those apples, and I'm telling you, that is not easy. I know that I have worked with people and tried to show them how to cut the skin off the pie, and that takes a little bit of training. Right, Zahedi? A little bit. And so anyways, you have to do that. You have to, you know, slice them. You have to roll the dough. It's not just an easy thing. No pie should be made without sugar on top. Before you bake it, you have to put a healthy dose of sugar on it. I see that Bruce did the same thing. Finally, you bake that pie. But let me tell you, the one thing about baking a pie is you should never eat pie alone. You should always have somebody to eat your pie with. You should have fun, family, food, right? You should always have somebody to eat the pie. That's the special enjoyment of a pie, is being able to share it and have somebody say it was the best. So making of this pie takes preparation. It takes a model or a recipe. It takes skill. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes patience. But best of all, it's when you eat that pie with somebody you love. And I know that a lot of you have memories of people that have made pies and you've been with. And that's special to me, too. Make some new ones, Marty said. Yeah, let's make some new memories. So let's talk about a fruit in the Bible. It's not the fruit that you're going to think of. It's called the fruit of the Spirit in the Bible. And all the fruits of the Spirit don't happen overnight. They take a lot of preparation, as the apple pie did. If we read in the scripture, Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." These are all really good fruits. Just like we can make a pie, we have all these fruits. Let me talk first about love. The word for love doesn't refer to just a warm, fuzzy feeling, although that's what we think of love. You know, it's flutters and it's just being infatuated. But love is deliberate. It has an attitude of goodwill, and it has devotion to others. That's what true love is, and sometimes love has to be on purpose. In order to love, sometimes you have to overlook. Love gives freely without looking at whether the other person even deserves it. It gives without expecting anything back. And I'm going to ask the question, am I motivated to do for others as Christ has done for me? Because, you know, really, he loved us enough that he gave his life for us. Am I giving and not expecting anything in return? I have some observations about love. I've always heard this over and over again. Love covers a multitude of sins, and that's really in the Bible. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I think love overlooks. I'm going to tell you just a story that I forgot to tell first service, so you'll get to hear it. And Benjamin, I didn't ask if I could tell the story. Years ago when Ben and Amanda got married, it was, you know, I think it was a couple months into their marriage. I don't remember whether both of them came to me or whether Amanda came to me. And she was so upset about something. She was upset because Benjamin did not pick up his clothes. She was upset that he didn't fold them, put them back right. And when he did messy. And I was like, she goes, you know, what do I think about it as the mother-in-law? Her mother had passed away. And I was like, I don't think really anything about it at all. I've hung up Marty's clothes for all my life. I didn't think anything about it. So I was trying to explain to her, to me, that was like no big deal. That was like nothing. Wouldn't even be anything I'd argue about. That's me and my household, because you want to know why? I watched my mom hang up my dad's clothes for years. We'd sit on the bed. We'd watch her put a suit away on Sundays. And, you know, that's what happens. You grow into love. You learn. You observe. And I remember thinking, oh, that's not a big deal. That wouldn't bother me at all because I do that for Marty. I watched my mom do that for my dad. So I got to tell you, love is different to other people, but that's something in my memory that I was like, oh, honey, that's not a big deal. And I bet you don't even argue about it now. It's not like anything. Oh, got a little bit of, not, no, no. He's quiet. Love overlooks. Love overlooks. And moms overlook over and over again. It's a gift that mothers have when our children are born. A lot of times we overlook things that we shouldn't overlook, but that's what we do. Love forgives and accepts. Love goes beyond to the extent of the impossible. And I really believe that. And joy. I want to talk to you about joy. Unlike happiness, joy is gladness that is completely independent of good or bad things that happen in the course of a day. Do you ever meet somebody who just has an abundance of joy? Like, I was thinking of Robin Brill, because Robin laughs a lot, and she's happy all the time. And when you're around her, you just can't help but smile and be happy because she has an abundance of joy. Am I experiencing a life of joy on a regular basis? Or is my happiness dependent on what's going around me? Like, is everything happening so smoothly? I just, again, want to say, did you ever watch somebody that's happy? And I was thinking of one of the happiest things for me is watching my grandchildren from like 14 down to little. They pull on each other. They jump on each other. I don't want them to get hurt. And I'm always like, don't get hurt. But they bring me such joy because they're so happy. They're happy being together, the cousins together. And when you sit and you watch older people like a great grandma or something, you know, they're not going to get up and play with the kids most of the time, but they sit there, they have peace and they have joy because they just smile and they watch their grandkids and they enjoy the moment. That's the one thing I can tell you. Joy when you're sick or when you're healthy. Joy when you're rich or when you're poor. Joy in the middle of conflict. Joy is a one-size-fits-all item. Everybody likes that kind of gift. If we could give the gift of joy. Peace goes along with contentment. I put them both together. It's not the absence of turmoil, but the presence of tranquility, even while being in a place of chaos. I thought that just, that really meant a lot. It's a sense of wholeness and completeness and knowing that God's in control of everything. I have to tell you a story that meant a lot to me. Probably 2 weeks ago now, on a Saturday, I had had leg surgery on both my legs, and I knew that I wasn't supposed to clean or do things, and I was like, eh, can't do that. But then I got a text, and the person told me that her mom went to a nursing home, Livingston County Nursing Home. Never been there, but I told Marty, I said on a Saturday, I go, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go see. Her name used to be McIntyre, and she remarried after her husband passed away and was Worthington. So I went up to visit her, and I'm like, it's probably going to be like normal nursing homes and whatever, but it wasn't. It was a beautiful nursing home. It was just so, I mean, I can't even tell you. I have been in nursing homes, but this was beautiful, and when I went in to see her, she was telling me, I'm dressed, and I'm all ready to see you, and she was smiling and happy, and I was happy to see her. But what a gift she gave me for about 3 hours I spent with her, and she told me how being there, she had just gotten there the night before, she had such peace being there, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, you know, I hope she's okay. So I tried to talk about things. She talked to me about things in her past. She talked to me about her life. I'd given her a little gift and a little card. She looked at it, and I thought she had read it because she held on to it like she was reading the card. And I said, you know, it's a little drizzly outside, but you can, beautiful window, and she had a TV. And I said to her, you know, do you ever watch TV? Do you enjoy watching TV? And she goes, well, let me tell you a story. In her 20s, she was losing her sight, and she couldn't see. Basically, she was going to be legally blind. She had eye transplants. I was like, whoa, in the 80s, she had eye transplants. That was amazing to me. And then she had to have another eye redone. So she was given the gift of sight in her 20s, and here she's 86. She is legally blind. She could not read. She said, honey, I couldn't read that card, but when you leave, I'm going to take time, and I'm going to figure out what the card said. She said, I can't watch TV because I can't see, but I can listen, and she can't read a book. And so she was telling me how much peace she had in that nursing home, how God had really helped her to be in the nursing home, how he was with her all the time. And this verse came to me. It said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. She told me she'd been praying, and she's just been taking time with the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I had a hard time understanding that. And it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That was just such an amazing visit that I had. And I am busy, but I am going to take time and go visit her again because she really gave me a gift that no one, I have never spent time with a person and really been given some of the gift of wisdom that she gave me for 3 hours. Another one is kindness. Great fruit of kindness. When kindness is at work in a person's life, he or she looks for ways to adapt to meet the needs of others. And I think that's important. It overflows. Is our goal to serve others with kindness, or am I too focused on my own needs, my own desires, my own problems? We need the gift of God to overflow and work in us. Everyone loves to be around a kind person. I can think of people in my life that have been just so kind, and I've been so thankful. And some people just unexpectedly have been kind to me. I didn't even really know them that well. But that's such a gift that you can give somebody, is kindness. Goodness. While kindness is the soft side of good, goodness reflects the character of God. Goodness in you desires to see goodness in others. It goes beyond, and sometimes it confronts, it rebukes, like Jesus did with the money changers, and it tries to bring clarity. And I thought that was such a good example to me, because goodness, I'm thinking, is always nice. But goodness is being good to somebody sometimes when you have to talk to them about something. And I thought about the boys, because usually if I'm thinking something and I'm mulling it over and I want to talk to them directly, personally, I will track them down. I will find them. I will call them early in the morning because I know they get up early. And I'll say, I want to talk to you about something. And Ben's the best, because when I talk to him, he'll say, Mom, what's up? Why'd you call? Because we see each other quite a bit. And usually we bring clarity to situations, don't we? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But isn't that goodness, presenting issues, working it out, trying to have some conversations? Faithfulness. A faithful person is one with real integrity. He or she is someone that you can look to as an example, someone who's truly devoted to others and to Christ. Our natural self always wants to be in charge, but a spirit-controlled faithfulness is evident in the life of a person who seeks good for others and glory for God. I think that's really important. I can think of so many people in the church that we've known over the years, and they've stuck to it. They have been faithful. I can think of a couple that we've known for 30 plus years and grew up with our children and their children, and now it's the grandchildren. I think that is so beautiful, to have generational friendship. Do you have a faithful friend? Do you have one that you look to and you look up to? If you don't have faithful friends around you, you need to change your inner circle. If you're not going in the same direction as your friends are, then you need to change the direction you're going. This is a good one for young people, and I know that first service we talked about it. The Bible says, what does light have to do with darkness? What do you have to do with people that aren't going in the same direction? Proverbs says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in the time of adversity. I need good friends, and I challenge you to have good friends around you too as well. Gentleness. Meekness is not weakness. And gentleness is not without power. It just chooses to defer to others. It forgives others. It corrects with kindness and love, and it lives in tranquility. Do I come across as brash, headstrong, or am I allowing the grace of God to flow through me? Because people need our love, our kindness, our gentleness. God needs to help me with this one, because I tend to be on the, I hope not brash, but I tend to be more forward. And, you know, when Marty talks about the example of the people in line and somebody budged ahead of us, I mean, I just thought it was natural to just go, I almost had, excuse me, we were waiting in line. And Marty put his hand on my shoulder. Shh, shh. And I'm like, why? I was going to tell them that they butted in front of me. But I have to laugh, because my nature is to do that. It's not, I'm just like, hey, I was here, back there. And I know that there's a scripture verse that says that the last will be first. But, you know, I just think about being in my place. Everybody should be in your place. So I challenge you guys, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Self-control. This is a really good one. Our fleshly desires are at odds constantly with God's Spirit, because we want to be in charge. We want to be in charge. Self-control is literally releasing our grip on fleshly desires and choosing instead to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We need to examine ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and make sure that we know who's in control of our life, that we're headed in the right direction. Do we do the right things that we know are good for the long haul? And you know when you're doing something wrong. We all do. We all know when we're headed in the wrong direction. I have to ask this to myself. You know, is this what I should do? Is that what I should say? So self-control is more than what you do. Self-control sometimes is what you think. It's sometimes how you speak. It's sometimes how your attitude is. You have to have self-control in your everyday life. And finally, walk by the Spirit. While this is not directly a fruit, we have to check these 9 qualities that we listed above, and we have to be led by the Spirit of God, and all of these 9. And He'll produce good fruit. He'll help us to produce the good fruit. Galatians says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Modeling the gifts of the Spirit, their love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and finally, self-control. These can be eternal gifts that we leave to our families and those that are around us. They can have that gift, and they'll have it not just for one generation, it can be for generations. There'll be memories to be cherished for a lifetime. You can leave these, and they won't cost you pretty much anything. The gift we leave others is a choice that we make every day. It's the fruit of our spirit in our everyday life. Lord, help us to remember that we can give gifts. We can give memories. Help us to remember these fruits, Lord, not just an apple pie or a peach pie or chocolate, the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that you give us. And every single day with our interaction with not just our family, Lord, with the people that are around us, the people we work with, and the people that challenge us, we pray, Lord, that this will be a memory that we can keep for a lifetime. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Beautiful. Great job. You hang around, I might give you another opportunity once in a while. Okay. We really love you. You are our family. We really appreciate each one of you. Some we know better than others. If we don't know you well, it's not because we've avoided you. We love you. We care for you. We believe the very best for you. That little script that Kathy read in the beginning, our heart goes out to anyone today that is going through a struggle, challenge of any kind in your life. We want to stand with you, and pray with you, love you, and lift you through any of those things that you're going through. God can help you. He really can through that. And He can help you with these fruits in your life, too. We need this. These are from God's Word that will strengthen you as a person, not just the moms, dads, and sons and daughters as well. This is for you and I today. And I just want to say, bless you. I pray for great favor on your life today. I pray that whatsoever things you lay your hands to, God will come alongside of you, and He'll bless whatever you touch today in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone that is here today, for moms in particular, but families, dads, sons and daughters today, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, God, I pray your hand would be upon them in a beautiful and in a powerful way today. I pray that you would release something great into every family here who asks of you today, God. And I give you the glory and the honor for it in the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. We're going to create a little more confusion in the back. Patty's going to go up. I want Ryan and Ben, they're going to be with her. If you'll escort her up, make sure you tell her how much you appreciated that today. Moms, we have a gift for you. We have a flower for you. We have somebody taking pictures out front. That red carpet is for you. Grab some selfies. If anyone needs prayer, I'm going to stand down here. There's coffee. There's some refreshments in the back. We love you. We believe in you. Go in His grace today. Enjoy the day today. I love you.